Hey everybody, it's Britt, lead pastor at Sunridge. Welcome back to our teaching podcast. You know, we are on a mission here at Sunridge to help people find and follow Jesus. We believe in the good news that Jesus welcomes all, regardless of how far you feel from God. That means we're a great starting point to explore Christianity or to sink your spiritual roots deep as a devoted Jesus follower. If you'd like to know more about us, just check out our website at sunridgechurch.org. And of course, we'd love to have you drop in anytime for a visit to learn and worship along with us. And now, here's our teaching for this week. Good morning, Sunridge. Great to see you, whether you're online or right here in our building. If you're new here, my name's Britt. I serve as the lead pastor here at Sunridge. And I'm sure some of you might be thinking I'm heading somewhere after church today. But I'm not. As you can see, though, I did bring some baggage with me. And the reason I did this is because some of you, when you picked up the note sheet today at our doors, you looked at the title of the message, Transformed to be Sent, and something happened inside of you. When we read passages like this one in John 20:21, where Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you," some of you are inspired. You're like, "Yeah, Britt, when is the next missions trip? I'm there." But probably most of you either started to sweat a little or you felt like a heaviness because that word sent carries baggage. Today we're wrapping up our series that we've titled Following Jesus, and we've talked about the number one thing we're trying to do is become like Jesus, and we talked a lot about how that happens. We've talked about that following Jesus, we do that for a lifetime. And then tied to that is that that calls us to receive God's grace in every circumstance. That means that our salvation, our following of Jesus, perseveres through even those challenging times. We talked about following together, that Christianity is a team sport. And of course, we talked about like doing what Jesus did. And today, I want us to see that following Jesus involves or maybe even culminates in being sent. But I think before we talk about that, we should probably spend a little time unpacking what some of us have brought in here today when we talk about being sent, some of the stuff that we're carrying. And for some of us, being sent means memorizing a script. So you have to have your cue cards with you, and then you follow the outline. You memorize this script, and you close the deal. And so God's mission depends on your flawless delivery of this thing you've learned. And how many of you, I wonder if like in sometime in your past, you received evangelism training? Raise your hand. Okay, great. Cindy and I actually met for the first time in personal evangelism in Bible college. So I may not have won many people to Jesus, but I won her heart, and that was something, you know. David even talked about this last week, about how Christianity or like talking about our faith can be kind of like reduced down to like we just follow this script. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples, they didn't have a script. They were often confused. They argued a lot. And they were still figuring out a lot of things about Jesus. So that's not what Jesus meant by being sent. And then some of you, ever seen such mind-blowing biceps? I don't know. For some of you, being sent feels like a weight. It's motivated by guilt. In the church where I became a Christian in Miami, Florida, they sent us out on Tuesday nights to do what they called soul-winning visitation. And what they did is they gave you cards of addresses of people that had visited the church, and so we could go to their house unannounced and get them saved. Or sometimes they just dropped us off in neighborhoods and we went door-to-door sharing the faith. Or sometimes they dropped us off at an airport, and we would just walk through the airport with this dialogue, you know, where are you headed? Oh, I'm going to Houston. No, I mean, what's your final destination? That was literally the thing they taught us to do. And so, you know, that was a different day and time, but it was still weird back then. And even though it was weird, I still did it because what they told us is it doesn't matter if it feels weird or it's ineffective. If you don't do this, you're being disobedient to God. And if you don't say something to these people, you failed, and now they're going to die and go to hell, and it's going to be all your fault. How many of you did something like that at one time? Okay, a few of us. How many of you have been cornered by somebody doing that at some time? Okay, yeah. So that view of being sent like feels like a weight, like guilt, but that's not what Jesus meant by being sent. And then for others, it's not so much guilt that worries us, but it's like our own self-image. We're afraid to talk about our faith because we might look dumb. Or what are they going to think of me? So we're really looking at ourselves instead of the person. And so how many of you, be honest, you worry about that sometimes? Like, they're just going to think you're weird if you bring up Jesus. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I feel weird sometimes. So today what we're going to see is that being sent doesn't mean being self-focused. It's being spirit-aware. And then some of us carry this baggage. In today's climate, being sent, for some people, it feels like, let's have a fight. I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to win the argument. And people who carry this kind of baggage, they think being sent is being the loudest, being combative, winning the argument, forcing spiritual conversations, and owning the libs. And now none of that is biblical. In fact, it is very un-Jesus-like. Jesus didn't say, I'm sending you into the world to win arguments. He didn't say, I'm sending you into the world to crush the other side. He said, love one another, make disciples, be light. The early church didn't conquer the world with better arguments. They changed the world with a different kind of life. So winning arguments isn't what Jesus was talking about when he said, we're being sent. And then this is a commentary off of my desk. Some of us carry this baggage. We think we need to know more before we ever share our faith. We feel like we're not ready. So I need more knowledge, then I'll be ready. But you know, when Jesus sent out the disciples, they didn't even have a New Testament yet. They didn't have seminary. They barely understood the resurrection. So what they had was Jesus. So the big question we have today is, if those things aren't what Jesus meant by being sent, then what did he mean? In John 20, the disciples are hiding in fear. They failed, they're scattered, they're unsure, and Jesus walks in the room, and he doesn't hand them a script. He doesn't provide a lecture that they're to master, and he doesn't guilt them. What does he say? John 20, 21 again. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. And then, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then, before they go anywhere, he breathes on them. So, before mission is Jesus' presence. And before assignment, he brings peace. And before sending, he provides the Holy Spirit. So what if being sent isn't about carrying something heavy? It's about walking with someone present in your life. And what if we've been carrying baggage that Jesus never intended us to carry? As we wrap up, this is the final message in our series on following Jesus. I'd like your permission to talk about that today. without the stereotypes, without the baggage, without the fearful resistance, I'm hoping today that we can drop our guards and take a fresh look of what it means to a modern-day disciple of Jesus to be part of his mission in the world today. And if you do, I think what you're going to find is we're going to destroy a lot of stereotypes. And we're going to find a fresh perspective of being sent that will be relatable and sustainable because it comes straight from Jesus, the one we seek to follow. So first of all, let's just be honest. For those of us that want to follow Jesus, the gospel doesn't stop at forgiveness. It launches us into the mission of Jesus. It doesn't stop when we become Christians. It launches us. Sometimes Christians think the end goal of the gospel is merely to get everyone to accept God's forgiveness. And then we're done. Mission accomplished. I believed in Jesus. I got my seat for the show. I'm on the train. But we're not just saved from something. We're saved to something. We're saved with a purpose. Think of it like this. Think about when you graduated from high school, for those of you who have. You went to your classes, you studied, you took your tests, you got your cap, your gown, your diploma. Pictures were taken. Everyone clapped. Everyone celebrated with you. And then nothing? Mission accomplished? You graduate and then there's no direction? There's no sense of purpose, just congratulations, you're done. And you just go home and enjoy life after that. No. You go into the world with purpose and goals. Graduating is a great accomplishment, but now you're sent out into the world to be productive and to be a good human. Discipleship is the same. Jesus doesn't form people just so they can admire their own transformation. He doesn't save us so we can put our salvation diploma up on the wall and have our friends sign our book of life. No, God saves people, he forms people, and then he sends them. The gospel isn't static. Jesus never said, follow me so we can all stay right here. Again and again, he says things like, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in Matthew 28:19, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Because God is a sending God. The gospel is always moving in people and through them. And following Jesus doesn't just change how we live, it changes why we're here. Jesus lived his entire life as the one sent by the Father. And he invites us into that same mission. Now, and I know a lot of you say, Britt, that's the part that freaks me out. Does that mean I'm supposed to do all those weird things you just talked about? No. So what is it? What does it mean to be sent? Here's my first thought. Being sent is an identity, not an activity. It's an identity, not an activity. If that's true, then the next question becomes, how do we live as people who are sent? And it's important to slow down and think about this because when we hear send, we think about something we have to do. But before sent is an activity, it's an identity. Before Jesus tells the disciples to do anything, he tells them something about who they are. He says, you will be my witnesses, not do witnessing. He says, you are my disciples. This is who you are. He said, we are Christ's ambassadors in the world. And Jesus puts it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, when we read this passage, the main thing that jumps out to most of us is we need to be salty. and shine the light. But I want you to see something here. It begins with first seeing yourself as salt. You are the salt. And before we shine the light, Jesus says, you are the light. You know, psychologists have discovered how identity affects our behavior. What we believe about ourselves shapes what we do. Our actions tend to flow from who we think we are. When someone sees themselves as a worthy person, they act with confidence. When someone sees themselves as a generous person, they give. Identity drives our behavior more than rules or pressure ever could. And that's why lasting change rarely comes from just trying harder. It comes from seeing ourselves differently. Jesus didn't need modern psychology to tell him that. He doesn't begin by telling his followers what to do. He begins by telling them who they are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are my witnesses. That's why one of my favorite songs we sing here at Sunridge is Child of God. I'm a child of God, because it makes us repeat that phrase over and over. I am a child of God. When we begin to see ourselves as people sent into a mission by Jesus, our actions follow naturally. And that leads to a very simple but powerful posture: availability. Being sent is to live available. If I know who I am, someone sent by Jesus, then my role isn't to manufacture opportunities or force spiritual conversations. I love how the prophet Isaiah describes when he first sensed God was sending him, in Isaiah 6:8. He says, "And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" You know, at that point, Isaiah didn't have a clear idea of what God intended for him to do. But he just says, "Here I am. I'm available." In my humble opinion, that is far better than, "God, I know what I want to do for you, and it is this, so bless me in it." I'm not saying we shouldn't be determined about doing some things, but that's often our ego speaking, not the Holy Spirit. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, don't begin with, "Good morning, God. Today I promise I'm going to talk to 3 of my friends about you." Or, "I'm going to corner my coworker today and tell them how they need Jesus." Instead, when you wake up, say, "Good morning, God. I want you to know that today I'm available. Available to you, Lord. Available to people. And available to what you want to put in front of me." If you know who you are, one transformed by the gospel and sent by Jesus, you'll notice the moments God places in front of you, and you'll be available when he calls. And that ties us to the next thought. Being sent means living with awareness, not agendas. To live with awareness, not agendas. One of the myths in Christian culture is that missions is something you only do somewhere else, usually far away. Another country, across the ocean, doing these big things, and those are real callings for real people. But often mission isn't across the ocean. It's across the street. It's in the next cubicle. It's in our homes. It's in a random conversation that happens at the gym between sets. It's in the front yard of a neighbor who's going through a difficult time. Mission happens on the way to go snowboarding with your teenage daughter. It's in a conversation on aisle 5 in the grocery store. Mission happens at the fire station when a coworker walks into your office and says, "Cap, can I talk to you for a second?" Mission happens at school during lunch or in your dorm. And it happens sitting in the stands at a baseball game. And you know this, often it's not a planned thing. It's an interruption. This week I got to go to lunch with Sunridge dude, and one of his big questions is it okay, Britt, you've been talking about, like, how, you know, Jesus forms us, and, you know, or to be like him? Is it okay for me to hang out with guys that aren't Christians, that don't go to church? And I'm like, yeah, that's a great opportunity. That's where God has placed you. So living on mission is simply paying attention to what God is doing already. I heard Rick Warren say this once. He says it's like surfing. Surfers don't make waves, they catch the ones God makes. Because being sent is paying attention to what God is doing in our ordinary lives. Luke tells us about a time when Jesus sent the disciples out. It wasn't just the 12. He says that there were 72 of them, and Jesus cast a vision for this mission. In Luke 10:2, he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And the image Jesus gives them is that there's an overabundance of what can be done, but there's not enough people to do it. So he says, pray. And in verse 3, he says, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Ooh, that sounds scary, right? But what's the one thing that they're supposed to do? He says, when you come to your city, in verse 7, he says, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. In other words, just stay there, living life. And here it is, the big thing. When you're there living life, verse 9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, did they have miracle powers we don't have? It appears that they did in this case, but don't miss the point here. Jesus said, heal the sick where they are and tell them about God. Translated, help people, the ones right in front of you, and give them a witness of your faith. That's why I say being sent is about being aware. Aware of the people. He didn't give them a program. He said, open your eyes to the people that are right there with you. And he said, see the needs that are right there, right in the town that you're in. You know, that reminds me of a scene from the movie Green and Gold. I know a lot of you saw that movie. It was produced by one of our own here at Sunridge, David Lindwall. And it's a movie, if you haven't seen it, centers on a Midwest man struggling to keep his farm. And this scene that I'm going to show you shows this cocky bank manager who is set on foreclosing on the farm, and he's spun into a ditch in his car, and the farmer comes upon him in a random way. And here's what happens.
Who are you?
Hey.
Not a word, Jerry. Okay, boy. Yep. Let's go. Yep. Yep. Get up. Yep. Come on. Good boy. Good boy.
I'm convinced the world's maintained by the quiet work of unnoticed, faithful people who choose to do the right thing.
I think the world's full of them. But the right thing mostly never makes a lot of money. Or wins a trophy. In real life,
miracles don't always arrive on time. Good guy
doesn't always win. And
you don't always get to keep your farm.
And that's okay.
Keep going.
I love that line by the narrator. I'm convinced the world is maintained by the quiet work of unnoticed faithful people who choose to do the right thing. Sometimes God calls people to other places to do different things to accomplish his mission. But mostly, we're sent right to where God has already placed us. Who knows? You may even one day be walking your draft horses somewhere in the Midwest in the middle of the winter when you come upon a guy that has been a real jerk to you. So consider. Maybe God's calling on your life and our lives as a disciple is just to be aware of what's going on in your town, in your home, in your community, your office, your school, your card playing club, or just hanging out with some dudes after work. Being on mission is about noticing. Jesus noticed. He noticed Zacchaeus in the tree. He noticed the woman that touched his cloak. He noticed the widow giving 2 coins. He noticed the Samaritan woman at the well. Being sent by Jesus begins with awareness, not an agenda. And even now, some of you are thinking, you know, Britt, I hear you, but that even seems impossible to me. So here's my last thought. We are sent in dependence, not in self-confidence. We're sent in dependence, not self-confidence. You know, there's an old joke about the big mouth frog who went around the swamp asking all the animals what they ate. And he hopped up to a bird and he said, "Hi, I'm a big mouth frog. What do you eat?" And the bird said, "Worms." And then he hopped over to a deer and he said, "Hi, I'm a big mouth frog. What do you eat?" And the deer said, "Grass." And finally he came to a big alligator in the swamp. And he said, "Hi, I'm a big mouth frog. What do you eat?" And the alligator slowly looked at him and said, "Big mouth frogs." And then suddenly the frog says, "Well, you don't see many of those around anymore, do you?" It's amazing how quickly self-confidence turns into humility when you realize you're not as much in control as you thought you were. When Jesus sends his followers into the world, he doesn't send them with swagger and self-confidence. He sends them in dependence upon him. Going back to the passage where Jesus said, "I'm sending you just as the Father sent me," in verse 22, he said, and with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before they were sent out, in this case, Jesus gave them a temporary presence of the Holy Spirit. And you see, he doesn't send experts. He sends the disciples, ordinary people, into their ordinary lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we, as believers, have the Spirit's presence daily. So accomplishing the mission of Jesus in the world doesn't depend on our self-confidence or often our preparedness. It depends on our dependence upon Jesus. Never forget that. So I'm going to invite the band to come up. And while they do, let's go back to the suitcase for a moment. At the beginning of the message, I told you that when some people hear the words, "you are sent," something heavy happens inside. Maybe you start thinking, "I don't know enough. I might say the wrong thing. I don't want to be that kind of Christian." And over the years, we've packed the suitcase full of things Jesus never asked us to carry. Scripts, guilt, fear, arguments, pressure. But when Jesus stood in that room with his disciples in John 20, he didn't hand them any of that baggage. He said 2 simple things. "Peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In other words, you don't go alone. And that's what really, that this whole series, Following Jesus, has been about. Following Jesus means becoming like him, following together, receiving grace in every circumstance, walking with him for a lifetime, doing what he did, being transformed from the inside out. And the gospel doesn't stop at forgiveness. It launches us into the mission of Jesus. And here's the good news. You don't have to carry the suitcase anymore. Because being sent doesn't mean having all the answers. It means remembering who you are. Someone loved by God, who's being slowly transformed by the grace of Jesus and filled with His Spirit and simply available to the people in your life and the things that God puts in your life. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you don't need a script. You can simply say, "Good morning, Lord. I'm here. Send me." Hey, everybody, it's Britt again. Thanks for listening. If you need something, if you have a question, or you'd just like us to pray for you, you can reach us through email, info@sunridgechurch.org. We hope you'll listen in again next week, but in the meantime, keep helping people find and follow Jesus.